Hey, welcome, everybody. Time to grab your gear. We're going to take to the road and see if we can catch up with some of the entrepreneurs driving the e-bike revolution, and maybe even some of the love stories of those riding along. And today, we have a love story, not just the love of e-bikes, a love of each other here. We've got with us Patrick and Wendy Riley, who started off as high school sweethearts. Is that right, Patrick and Wendy?
That is correct. How many odd years ago? 30-some odd years?
Oh, my goodness. 32 years ago, 1990.
Oh, my goodness. See, you're already in trouble, Patrick, because you said 30-some years.
Well, it's always going to be that way. I know my place. She's the event coordinator, scheduling manager. She keeps some track on dates.
So, you guys, what? You started working at a McDonald's in high school and met there? And all of a sudden fell in love and got married? Was this like right after high school you got married or in college? Or?
Well, both. I was in college. It was 2 years out of high school.
Uh-huh.
So it all happened pretty quick.
All right.
We started dating senior year of high school.
Senior year of high school. So you do what every good young couple does. You start a family and you start careers. Your career, Wendy, was what? You got a Bachelor of Arts in Elementary Education and Psychology and became, I'm told, a behavioral therapist and even started a master's degree in special ed. Did I get all that in?
Got all that in. And actually, I started working right down the street from where our store is now. My first job was in Haddonfield, New Jersey.
Wow. And this is right outside of Philly somewhere there. This is some suburb, a little small colonial town. I had to look it up online. You guys are giving me a little history. Just give us a quick overview of this little quaint colonial town, Patrick, that you guys live in, that this love story took place in here.
Well, it's a like I said, neat little suburb. It's a great community. They got a wonderful school system, a lot of old historic homes, a lot of Victorian style. Most of the homes were built in the Victorian age. But right. As I said, it was a colonial town. So there's the heart of the downtown area has a real colonial type feel. They do skirmishes every year because there actually was a battle here in Haddonfield.
There you go. Revolutionary War, right?
Yep. The New Jersey legislation used Haddonfield as part of their headquarters when the British were occupying Trenton. So there's a lot of neat little history here that a lot of people isn't well known, you know. So
well, we'll come back to one of the pieces of history later here. But so this is a historical town. You guys have got the roots there, and your story starts back there, back in high school. You guys run into each other, high school sweethearts, or shortly after high school. She goes on and becomes a special ed teacher. You did what? You got into something?
I got into cable television. I started building what at the time was referred to as the information superhighway. This is like, you know, in the beginning, early days of, you know, cable television, internet, it was my job to certify nodes before they were launched for internet servers. Mm-hmm. So I did that for a number of years. I traveled all over the country, you know, doing that type of work, you know, certifying nodes. So I was a lineman, essentially, you know. I was a field engineer, just build cable systems, design cable systems, build fiber optics, splice fiber optics.
And maybe I'm way off on this, but wasn't John Malone and Comcast and all, or was John Malone with another one of them? It seems like Philadelphia was an epicenter, isn't that where Comcast
was? Oh, absolutely. Yeah. There, that was our, for a long time, our home turf where we worked out of the company that I was with. By the time I was 25, I started, you know, my own company and worked as a subcontractor and then eventually a prime contractor for Comcast now. But yeah, my relationship with this has been with Comcast for most of my career.
And eventually then, did you open your own company?
Yeah, I've had a few, but for the past 15 years, I still have a design company that designs fiber optic networks for Comcast, for the Beltway region, whole Northeast, actually.
All right, so none of this, maybe you'd be surprised at my reaction, but none of this says this is leading to an e-bike store.
No, it doesn't. It didn't, and it never was. And that's what was really the miraculous thing that happened to us.
All right, before we get there, a couple of kids along the way, good Irishmen that you are here. You name them all Patrick and what else we got? Kylie.
Liam and Colin.
Yeah, these are all good Irish names. I'm an Irish Catholic myself here. I'm appreciative of you continuing the tradition here. And in fact, as I told you off camera, my great-grandmother's was O'Reilly, and they came fleeing the famine, and her father was born on a boat coming over from in the 1800s. So Riley's a good name that has a lot of good stock in my family here. So is this any this makes sense to how do we get to e-bikes? So you've got a career, you've got all this other stuff, and you decide to what? Take a family vacation somewhere and you stumble on something?
There was a path. I mean, you know, I was in this career for a number of years outside building cable systems, and there's risk there. You know, I got hit by a car one time. I've fallen off of poles. I've gotten electrocuted. I've had a number of injuries over my career. So by the time I got into my, let's say, mid-40s, I was in pretty bad shape. I could barely walk. I was walking with a cane and only just barely. We, you know, were on vacation at one point in Bar Harbor. My wife and kids were out having hiking and doing activities.
Because it's Maine and there's rocks and there's things to explore.
And there's all these things to see and do, and I'm at the hotel, you know, because I can't get that far.
Right.
But we were right downtown, right at the Harbor Hotel there in Bar Harbor. And then 100 feet away was a little pedalco shop.
Hmm.
And my wife and kids came back and they said, "Hey, we just found these electric bikes and they have a throttle and you could probably do this." Mm-hmm. So we rented some bikes and we spent the entire day on them riding all over Bar Harbor. And we absolutely had a blast. With my own injuries and, you know, Wendy having MS enabled us to keep up with our kids and do the things that we wanted to do, you know, get out and have fun.
Right.
And that was had a huge impact on my life. It just changed my perspective from where I was at that point in my life and made me realize that I, you know, needed to start doing things differently. I needed to take better care of myself.
So Wendy, what did you think when you saw him get on a bike? And you have MS? Did I just hear him casually say that?
Yeah, that was like a wedding gift. Right after we got married, I got diagnosed.
Oh, boy. Happy wedding anniversary.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. But we stuck together and made it through all these ups and downs and just made it even more of a blessing.
But, and that's really what it was, is finding these bikes was something that just changed the direction of our lives, because now all of a sudden we were able to do things
we
weren't able to do before.
Yeah.
Right.
So this
is happy to get him out of the hotel and out doing stuff as the family. It was a wonderful big change in our life.
I know you're in the shop. The phone's ringing. If you got to grab it, go for it here. But all right. So this is like what, June of 2020, your 28th wedding anniversary. Mm-hmm. And somewhere along the way, you said, you know, maybe this is more than a fun afternoon. Maybe this is, I don't want to sound like an Irish Catholic, maybe this is God trying to tell us something here, right?
Well, it quickly became that. Like, shortly after that, you know, there were, a few other things to overcome. But shortly after that, we bought two bikes. We're having so much fun with them. We had incorporated in every vacation we went at that point. We'd go, we'd take the bikes with us. But we decided after a while that two just wasn't enough for a family of five. So we bought three more. And when we made that purchase, you know, I dialed this thinking I was dialing the store where we bought the original two, which was the Spring Lake store, Adam Levine's store.
Mm-hmm.
We bought two bikes from him. I call him back. I think I'm calling Adam, but I'm actually accidentally calling ahead.
Now, come on. This is like out of a movie here.
It really is.
You're dialing to get three more bikes from the local dealer in Jersey somewhere there, and instead you call headquarters here in California, and you get
California. Immediately after our Harbor trip, we were on the phone with them, telling them of our interest of possibly having a store.
But it was a fantasy then, a bunch of money, you got careers.
At that point. Yeah. Right, exactly. Right.
That was 3 years prior. We were comfortable in our jobs and
Come on, you come to your senses. Let's get back on the path. We're not going to take on a right tour and go off in this adventure here. Let's get sensible. Let's get back to what we know. And 3 years later, you accidentally, I still can't believe this, you accidentally call headquarters instead of the bike dealer, and Cynthia gets on the phone with you, one of the people works here,
on the phone, recognizes my voice immediately.
Come on.
From 3 years later, and said, "Oh, you guys were you wanted the Haddonfield store, didn't you? You were at the time when we first spoke about it. There was already somebody entertaining
3 years ago. Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah. So it wasn't an option for us. She said, sorry, somebody already has it. So we kind of forgot about it. So when we accidentally call her, she's like, hey, that space is available. Do you still want it? And
oh, yes, come on. Mm-hmm. Come
yeah, and
on.
We called our kids, and I'm like, hey, what do you guys think? And all of them were on board to step in and help us out and do what they could do to help us with it. It was COVID, so their jobs were closed down, too. So it was just a perfect time for everybody in our house.
So my good Irish Catholic wife would say, see, it's God's will. And I'm like, come on. I don't know if I really believe that God makes those kinds of little happenstance things happen just so that you'll wake up and follow the path. But it almost seems like this is divine providence here. There's something driving this here. I don't know if you're religious folks or not here, but honest to God, this just sounds like something I'd see in a movie.
We only have time today, I think, for the short story. There's a really long story here, and it is miraculous. At least I think so. So
yeah,
it's had like such a change around our lives. And, you know, the timing, as Wendy pointed out, the timing is right with the pandemic. We were all of a sudden, you know, prior to that, we were scattered all over the country working. Yeah. And now all of a sudden we're home and we're together and we're able to kind of strategize and talk about this and make this as a decision as a family. And it just seemed like the right time. You know, This is what we do now.
Well, apparently it was, because this Hattonfield store is now turning and giving birth to another store. The family keeps growing here. Open one in Princeton, where the famous university is.
Yes. Yeah. We're talking to the university now that it's kind of open. It should have been open about a year ago, but the university had shut down again after this past September. We've developed a lot of relationships up there with the Chamber of Commerce and the people in town. So things are moving, and our permanent location will be open real soon, but we do have a temporary spot that we're going to start renting bikes.
And I wonder if universities are prime turf for this. I hadn't thought about this before. We did an interview with a dealer who's across from Stanford, and he said, truthfully, I just wanted to be in Silicon Valley. I wasn't thinking about the proximity of literally across the street from Stanford, but he said, I get lots of faculty. He said, I sold them to a couple of football players who want to get around these big campuses. I went to the University of Michigan. It was a huge campus. We had bikes, at least in the summer.
Well, this is something that the university is interested in, because they don't want scooters.
No.
They don't want scooters laying all over the neighborhood. They want some alternative to cars and parking to solve some of the parking problems.
Clearly. We had parking problems on campus.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So we're in discussions with them about them buying a certain number of bikes each year to provide to incoming students, you know, maybe one semester, single semester professors or something like that, short-term people. Give them a bike, give them something, way to get around town, and we maintain them for them.
So our studio, this station that we broadcast over, is OC Talk Radio. We're in Orange County, and we happen to be on the campus at the University of California, Irvine, here in Orange County.
Yeah.
And so we're out of this Applied Innovation Center, and I got to tell you, in addition to the chargers out front for all the electric cars, because this is all tech incubator and accelerator and all this stuff here, there's a ton of professors who ride and students who ride e-bikes and park them outside, including we did an interview with the new professor of engineering, or the new dean of the engineering school here. And I happened to be downstairs to bring him into the building. I'm expecting him to come up in some big, cool car. He comes up in an e-bike. And I was stunned. So I think you're onto something. We just talked to some dealers who are right near Columbus in Ohio State. It's hard for me to say that because I'm from Michigan.
But,
having said that, they see that as an opportunity. I wonder if that isn't.
It's a tremendous opportunity. With Princeton in that area, there's other school systems. Once Princeton has Pedego electric bikes running around campus, that is part of the permanent fixture. There's all these little feeder schools that feed into Princeton private schools in that area.
Yeah.
They're all going to want them, you know?
Yeah,
and
exactly.
So we have a lot of different ideas for that of going after. There's a lot of pharmaceutical companies up near us who have huge campuses that, you know, could use some e-bikes just for their, you know, people to get around campus.
That's what this guy in outside of Stanford, he's nearby the giant Google campus, I think.
That's tremendous. Yeah. That's a gold mine right there.
If you've been to these.
It really is.
Yeah, right. And he said that was my whole motivation, and that's where he's selling these things. People are, the whole world is buying e-bikes because they're fun. I get that. Or they're buying them for health to get back like you guys did, and to get active, to get out. You've got problems you're facing and challenges that keep you from getting out and do that. We hear that story all the time. But I wonder if this telecommuting, particularly on these big campuses or college campuses, isn't an untapped opportunity here.
Yeah. What we need here in Haddonfield, closer to the Philadelphia region, is more bicycle infrastructure.
Yeah.
But in Princeton, different county, they've done a lot more. They've got a lot of infrastructure built. There's a lot of, just to tie back into the historical aspect, there's the the canal system that was built prior to the railroads. A lot of that still exists in that area. So there's towpaths that you can get on from Princeton and ride all the way out to Lake Erie on, you know, and it's a really, you know, great area for rides. So, or, you know, trail rides.
Well, I think you're onto something here, and I almost feel, I don't want to make this too religious and insert my Irish Catholicism in here, but it seems like the hand of God's guiding this one a little bit. You guys meet in McDonald's and start a family, and 20 years later, kind of wondering with all the health problems you got and the shutdowns and COVID, what do we do next? And an inadvertent call opens the door, and in you walk into this, which you described as kind of a miracle. It does. It's a miraculous story. We're going to make a movie out of this one.
It really is. Like, you know, there's so much to it. What makes it so special is that it gives us the opportunity to share that with other people.
Yeah.
It really has changed our lives. I'm proud of the work that I did in cable television. I've done some pretty cool things over my career. But getting somebody on a bike and getting them out riding and seeing the smile on their face when it comes back is worth so much.
Last question, because I know your son, Patrick Jr., is peering over. We're on Zoom looking at us here. What's it like working with your family? What's it like having a family business? That's a rarity. That's small town colonial America again here. You know, the family business gets handed down from one to the next here.
Parents, I mean, I'll do my best to answer our part of that side of the story as parents. Nothing makes us more proud of than to have our son here at the store every day doing the things that he does, because he's really picked up the skill set that it takes to, you know, communicate to people with these bikes, and he's managing the shop. I mean, he's running the show here day to day, and that has allowed us to look at Princeton and look at other opportunities and look beyond Princeton. And, you know, it's been a really terrific opportunity for us.
Well, what a love story, and it's still riding along here. The family continues to grow, the family of stores. Who knows? Maybe this is a generational thing you're starting. It's like the old farms that got passed down in the old days here.
Yeah. I mean, that would be terrific. Keep it all in the family and have a nice big operation like that that we eventually hand down to our grandchildren.
Yeah, wouldn't that be cool? Well, thank you so much for joining us here. Patrick and Wendy Riley, good to have some Irishmen on the show for once here and sharing what is only, I can say, really a miraculous story of how you met and how this has evolved. And the miracle of finding this and the happiness you found as part of it. You're getting me choked up here. It's quite of a story here. All right. Thanks so much for joining us. Give us the address and locations of the two stores again one more time if anybody wants to stop by and ride by and say hi.
The Haddonfield address is 31 Kings Highway East in Haddonfield, New Jersey. And the Princeton location is 21 Wiggins Avenue, but the entrance is off of North Tulane.
Okay.
So that's in Princeton, New Jersey.
All right. Well, I don't know when I'll ever find myself in New Jersey, but if I do, I'll have to stop by and we'll have to raise a pint of Guinness or something here. And
For sure. And Princeton's just a beautiful town to visit.
So if you
ever have the opportunity to stop walking through the campus, riding through the campus, I should say. It's great.
Yeah. What a cool thing. You should give tours to all the incoming freshmen.
We plan to.
Yeah.
We do plan to.
That would be a natural. All right. Yeah. So many ways to go with this story. Thanks for joining us here today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, there you have it. If that's not an inspirational story, a love story, a real love story of those riding along, I don't know what is. Join us as we find more, uncover more of these amazing stories here on the Pedego Podcast.